Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
To Tom to take it away.
I want to welcome you also to Life Church. My name is Tom Kyle. My lovely wife is in the front row, and we have the privilege of serving here. We love this family. We love what Jesus is doing amongst us, and we so appreciate all the people that serve here back in children's ministry, 129, kind of the teens just left, the folks up there in the booth. A lot of times you only get acknowledged when there's squeaks and squeals and something doesn't work right. But we just love the people who serve here, don't get enough credit or appreciation, but even a thank you a lot of times is all that's needed to know that people see you. The beginning of this year, I began a short series on fruits of the Spirit out of Galatians 5. It's awesome, beautiful, wonderful. I liked it. And we've kind of, it's home cooking. You tend to like what you cook sometimes. And kind of transition into the rest of this year, just talking about the beauty, the importance of family. Yeah. And you may be like me. I grew up kind of all over the place as far as my dad was military, but I did spend a lot of time in St. Louis. And my family kind of epitomized dysfunctional. It was a mess, but it was mine. I embraced it, and I didn't know what healthy family looked like because I had mine. And there's a couple of people here that knew my family way back when, and it was a mess. And so maybe that's why, for me, I have such an appreciation for healthy family, not just family. So many people, like in church, get beat up in family, and it taints them and twists them. And, you know, I've met so many women in particular who have just said, I don't ever want kids. I don't want to perpetuate the pain that I felt. And just the sting of that and the pain of that, hearing that in people. But again, if they're a product of that, I understand, I get it. So I'd just like to continue on in a series on healthy family. And as I think was mentioned here by somebody this morning, I forget, some great contributions, I so appreciate it. My opinion is we live in kind of a crazy world right now. And I don't think it's any crazier than in the 70s when I was adopted into a brand new family called Jesus Family. But it just seemed like there's so many things coming against family, coming against Christianity and the belief of the church and everything. And it's so easy to have a lot of that come into the church, come into your family. And it's trying to hold on to truth. You know, we value the Word of God. We value what the Bible says. And so much of the world, schools, governments, businesses are at war with this. Some of it open, some of it in your face, some of it subtle. And it just can sneak in so easy. But I do believe there is a war between two different kingdoms. The kingdom of this world and Jesus' kingdom. And I was watching a show recently, and it just reminded me. I was just looking, and I thought, that's a brilliant picture of it. And I hope you don't watch a lot of TV. You know, there's things that are better. But does God ever speak to you while you're watching a movie or a television show? Well, that's what happened one time. And it was one of my dad's. My dad's gone on to be with the Lord now. But it was one of my dad's favorites. And anybody ever heard of a TV show called World's Deadliest Catch? Yeah. And I like fishing from a riverbank. People go on vacation. Oh, Tom, you want to go deep sea fishing with me? Nope. No, I don't. Show me a picture. I'll be happy with you. But as I was watching this video, I was like, it was so... Well, anyway, can you show the video real quick?
Veteran skipper Wild Bill Wachowski will keep fishing, gambling that he'll be able to haul crab in the midst of the Arctic storm.
There's no time to recover between them. There's a big one here. Come around. Look out.
Great, you can hold it there. As I was watching this, I thought, the church, the family, can feel a little bit like Summer Bay. I could relate instantly to the captain because of the hair and everything. But as I was watching that, I just realized that captain in that boat has no control over the wind and the waves. He can't control the waves coming in. He can't do anything about it. The waves will do what they do. But the people on the boat can do something about it. Just themselves. They can learn to turn into the waves instead of being washed over on the side and go capsize. There are things on the boat that can get them through without losing the mission, without losing the crabs that they're looking for, and having people gone overboard. Can't do anything about the waves, but I can do something about the boat. The skill of the people on the boat to be able to navigate through storms, navigate through waves. Maybe you have Jesus' superpower and you control the wind and the waves. You say, peace be still. Amen. But in my 45 years of walking with Jesus, I've seen a lot of storms come against the church. A lot of storms come against our personal family. And I would like to learn, have us learn how to navigate through the storms and not get swamped and not quit and not say, I'll never do that again. I don't want to live in life. I just want to seclude myself, isolate myself. Or I can be part of the Church of Jesus Christ, which is a family. It's God's family. It's what He designed. But life at times can be so much like that TV show. Joshua 24:15 says this. The Word of God says this. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Jesus is interested in family, and Jesus is interested in healthy family. Jesus didn't come to earth to produce dysfunctional family. We can do that on our own really well. All you got to do is get people together, and we can produce dysfunction. Competition, hurts, anger, rage. Is that right there in Galatians 5? But Jesus has a different type of ship, a different type of family in mind. And it has a mission, the church. And the family has a mission. There would be peace, joy, love, patience, goodness, faithfulness. It's a beautiful thing. Jesus is committed to your family. 100% committed to your family. But not just any old family. A healthy family. A vibrant family. 3 John chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. Guess who wrote this small book? John, that's it. We're Bible knowledgeable people. The elder to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to tell the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Now, John didn't have a massive family, kids all over the world. He was talking about the family of God. And those people that he influenced, those people in his circle of influence, he viewed as children, not congregations or attendees or an audience. Because John, he was, the Bible would say, he was the one closest to Jesus. And he understood Jesus' heart, what Jesus had intended. And wherever John went from that, understanding Jesus' heart, he wasn't interested in building church, as we would call it, most people would call it. Religion, Sunday attendance. Go and drop your 20 bucks in and go have a nice day. John caught Jesus' heart, and he came and he understood what Jesus, why Jesus came. It's to build something beautiful, build something vibrant, build something that can navigate through the seas and the waves and the wind and the storms that this world will bring. John understood the people in the churches are the children of God, called to be in family, called to be in health and life together. Family is so important to God. In Genesis 2, the Lord started out mankind in the Garden of Eden. And he used the term wife in Genesis 2. There's only two people on the face of the earth. And in using the term wife, the Lord denotes family, marriage. He could have used girlfriend, significant other, hot seat. My gal, my lady. But that's not what the Bible says. In Genesis 2, verse 15 and 22 to 24, this is what the Bible says. Verse 15 of Genesis 2. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Verse 22. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man. And he brought her to the man. And the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, or wow, man. For she was taken out of man. And that is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife. Not girlfriend, not significant other. And they became one flesh. A man and a woman. Family was instituted by the Lord. There's only two people on the whole earth. And the Lord uses, it's a wife. Kind of logic would say then there's a husband. It was heaven-designed family. Heaven-designed. Healthy family is so important in the kingdom of heaven. When Jesus came, his first miracle he did was at a wedding at Cana of Galilee. His first miracle. Why would he choose a wedding when a man is marrying a woman, starting a family? First time. He could have used anything. Even though mom pushed him a little bit, that's okay. It's family. Healthy family. Healthy family is so important to God. Jesus himself was born into a family. We know all about Mary and Joseph. But the Bible also talks about Jesus himself had real, half, brothers and sisters. He was raised in a family. It wasn't like he was like a Western video and Jesus just dropped onto the earth somehow and walked into the city, this Western town, and tumbleweeds rolling. And who is this guy? And he throws back his poncho and he's loaded with six, you know. He didn't, that's not how he came into the world. Who was that guy? No, he's born in a family, raised in a family. God loves family. And he loves healthy family. He's not a Clint Eastwood. Never intended to be a Clint Eastwood. My personal belief is how families go, this nation will go. And I guarantee you, the world is aiming to tear it apart. Everything thrown against it. Bring up the heavy artillery against family. I'm trying. Healthy family is everything to the Lord. Moms and dads serving and loving one another in front of children. Teaching the children with honor and respect and deference and love and kindness and sensitivity and forgiveness looks like. Kind of an 18 to 20 year object lesson in front of the kids so that they learn by example. This is what it looks like. to have a healthy family. The way a man speaks to a woman. The way he defers to his wife. I promised myself I wouldn't get off on a segu, so I'm going to stay on target here. Within that family, within that framework, developing a culture of honor where my sons learn how to treat a woman. Not from a book, but maybe their father. It's so challenging. I personally think, and this is not about marriage. It is not about marriage. But part of the blessing of having four children that we both had, right? Both? Yep. Was to be the best possible examples of what it looks like for a man who says, I love Jesus, and a woman who says she loves Jesus, how they operate together, honoring one another. And gosh, I am. I'm just going to go deviate quick off, jump back on. You know, in Ephesians, it talks about head of the household and everything, and it's all true. It's the Bible. But when I look at what Jesus did, how did he express his leadership with his spiritual family? Yeah. He took off his outer clothes, wrapped an outer garment, and the disciples were appalled. Jesus, don't do that. That's a servant does that. The lowest in the house does that. Don't do that. Don't do my feet. That's gross. The lowest of the low does that. And he says, no. I want to show you what leadership looks like. I want to show you what love looks like. This is how you express headship. I think we would all agree Jesus was head of everything and everyone.
Yep.
Everything. And he says, boys, I'm about ready to go to the cross. I want to remind you what it looks like to be in charge. And then to the fullest extent, he says, boys, this is what it looks like to love. I'm going to go to the cross and I'm going to die for you. You don't have to yet. You don't have to. But this is what it looks like to be in charge, to be head of the family, as it were. I get to die for you, and I love it. I want to, even though he hated such agony. The beautiful Prince of Peace who knew no sin. The thought of it, I'm going to have disconnection with my dad for just this much. Being made sin. I want to show you guys, his disciples, what headship in the family looks like. I'll die for you so that you can live. It puts a different twist on what it means to be boss. Healthy family is so important. And I just want to say, for me, for us, this family is made up of some married people, some single people, some seasoned people. Working on it. Some younger folks. And Jesus is committed to your family. Whether there's one person and your kids are out and spread out all over Missouri or across the nation, or maybe you never had a child, it's okay. You've been born again and adopted into a family. The family of God. Healthy family is so important. And I just want to say it's never too late to change. It's never too late to grow. It's never too late to step into who I'm called to be, who you're called to be, but not in isolation, in relationship. It's so funny with our four kids. I think we have a 37-year-old. Yeah, 37, that's right. 35-year-old, 37 girl, 35 boy, and two 29s, boy and a girl. And we had them all after we knew Jesus. And it's amazing when our children were grown. One of the key elements of healthy family was we had to go back to our kids and ask for forgiveness. More than once. Recognizing our own failures, our own flaws within healthy family. And you know what? Do you think the kids rejected us and said, "Finally you admit it, loser"? Do you think our kids said, "Finally, we're all in agreement, horrible dad. Better mom, but horrible dad"? When we went back to our kids and admitted our failures, do you think they rejected us? Or do you think they embraced us when we acknowledge our own inconsistencies, our own failures? And it's not a "yeah, but." "Well, I'm imperfect. Hey, love me anyway." "No, son, the way I treated you," our eldest daughter in particular, she was our starter child. Anybody have a starter child? Sorry, starter child. They don't give you like somebody else's kids to practice on for 5 years. I don't know. Your way's best. Wouldn't it be cool if you had a starter child? No. But a healthy family. The ability to sit down with family and ask questions and then stop talking. And listen to their hearts, listen to their dreams, listen to their hurts, listen to their questions. Sometimes when you hear people talk, "Well, that sounds like Disneyland." Fairy tale. But in this family called Life Church, we are committed to healthy family. Really, really healthy family. The challenge is there's people like me in it. Still imperfect. But we're committed to healthy family, which means I've got to change. I've got to grow. I've got to continue learning. I have to take on the high values of humility and integrity, obedience. Healthy family, it's so important, so hard to do. Healthy family. It's beautiful and amazing to be part of a family, whether it's a unit, 1, 2, 4, 8 people, or it's a church family. Same rules apply. And I say rules almost in jest. Same values apply. It's me and you looking and sounding more and more like Jesus. Lord, help me, please. Help me to not want my own way, to not demand, not to insist, not to push. Healthy family is at its best multi-generational, where we still value the grandmas and grandpas in church. We still value the moms and dads in church. We still respect the 6-year-olds and the 13-year-olds. And we love them and allow them to grow, allow them to change. I'm talking about grandma and grandpa. I think my wife would say, don't. I think my wife would say, I've changed more in the last 6 years than our previous 35 years of marriage. Oh, wow. I think, I know. It's shocking, isn't it? I'm a learner, not a loser, learner. But I think my wife would say that. And it's just the grace of God and me seeing me and recognize I want to bring health. I want to be a healthy component, necessary component, but a healthy component to my family. It's so important. Becoming a healthy family. What would even a healthy family look like? Because there's people in this room who would ask questions and say this: my children are all grown up. What do I do now? They're out of my house. People in this very room would ask questions and say, I've got kids surrounding me all day. I'm overwhelmed. Can they go for a little while? What do I do? I'm overwhelmed with little kids running around. There's people in this room who would say, my spouse and I are so different. Our values are so different. How do we do this? What do I do? There's people in here who maybe, of course, they're out, most of them. Maybe they'll listen to it later, maybe not. But teenagers saying, my parents just don't get me. They just don't understand me. And I know that's true because that's what I felt like when I was 15, 16, 17, 18. My parents are old. They don't understand. So teenagers, and what do I do? My dad and mom are so restrictive, so controlling. What do I do? Or people in this room, I'm single. I feel alone. That's how do I fit? I'm a single person. What do I do? Where's my place? Is there a place? Is it kind of off to the side and seemingly meaningless? But sure, I get invited every once in a while. But what do I do to become and feel more engaged in a healthy family? And it's you, me, becoming healthy family. Well, what does that even look like? Just three or four quick points. What does a healthy family look like? To me, a healthy family, and it's not primary, but it is central, is for me becoming a safe place. Me personally. How do you have healthy family? Me personally. Becoming a safe place. Well, I'm pretty safe. Huh. Sometimes we talk to your kids. What? No. Moving on. In a healthy family, that my family members, whether it's a church family or your family, people around me feel seen, they feel heard by me. They feel like, as a safe person, I can be adjusted. I'm not too old to change. I'm a safe person. I listen. I don't try and control. Sure, I love them enough to help them as best I can, especially when they want it. But I'm a safe place. I'm becoming a safe place. I don't try and correct everyone or reject what others are trying to say to the point they feel like my opinion is always more valuable. And as soon as they stop, I start talking because I know better. I'm becoming a safe place where I don't react to what people are saying around me. We have a friend who says, you only get one chance to make a first impression, and it makes an image. So when my kids are coming to me sharing their scary thoughts, or someone in the church family comes and they share a scary thought to you, does my mouth drop open? Do I immediately throw out a scripture to correct them? Or am I a safe place where they can come and tell me anything? They can tell me anything because I'm a safe place. And I actually ask questions rather than immediately correcting them with scripture. Look what the Bible says. Yes, it does. And they're going to probably go talk to somebody else that they probably feel safe around rather than an immediate correction. It's becoming a safe person. Other things, what is a healthy family, a person that people want to be in family with? It's a healthy family has healthy communication. Healthy communication. It's not always so much that I can express and articulate thoughts well, but can I allow other people to express and articulate their thoughts well to me without being adjusted and corrected and yeah buts? It's healthy communication. Have I learned how to hear someone's heart and their intentions, even though they're using the wrong words? Yeah, but that's what you said. Healthy family allows healthy communication. Two big ears. I'm on my way. And one small mouth. One small mouth. Healthy family has true forgiveness. True forgiveness for them and also for myself. So many people beat themselves up. They've got forgiveness for everyone else, but they keep reminding themselves of their own failure. Have you learned how to forgive yourself? Have you allowed yourself to begin to forgive other people for their failures, for their inconsistencies? Healthy family, over time, has time for true forgiveness. Yeah. time to move on. It's funny. Can I say what I'm about to say, Rand? There, she gave me a green light. With our starter child. That starter child has a name. It's Kelly. She is Kelly. And from probably the age of 13 to 17, I told Kelly not to talk to her mother. You may not engage your mother. Mother, you may not engage your daughter. They're very similar. Are still very similar. And it just, don't raise your hand. Anybody have these people in your family you're just constantly butting heads with? There's a hand. I told you not to. There's a hand. Told you not to. A small hand. True forgiveness allows people to grow up. True forgiveness allows people to change. And allowing our kids to change also. And as we raised our kids, it's just, please, children, please forgive us. We made so many mistakes. And it's an aspect of health when family can love and forgive each other. Let's go to the video again. And it's that family, that boat in the middle of an ocean. And the waves don't seem like they're ever going to stop. It's the world crashing in. Their values, whether it's on sexuality or valuing other denominations, other beliefs. Our kids go to college and they have these values and these things that did not generate from home. And can we hold the course as a healthy family, as a kind, gracious, responsible father, a kind, gracious, responsible mom? And the waves just keep splashing over, but it's my little girl, my son. And they just have different values. Can we hold course with the truth of the Bible, the truth of kindness, the truth of grace, of forgiveness? And can we model it as a family? Because the world out there is struggling, and they'd like to see a family that looks like Jesus, acts like Jesus, sounds and smells like Jesus. It's healthy family, a strong family. I want to finish with one scripture, and it touches on John Hooker. Over there, John spoke recently about not giving up on the church. Yeah. Matthew 16:18 says this. This is Jesus. It was red letters, not up there, but in the Bible. And Jesus said this, "And I tell you that you are Peter," because it's previously known as Simon. "And on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." See, family was God's idea, starting in Genesis 2. It was family. This is how I want to start mankind. It's family. Then Jesus came and went like this. He says, "I'm going to start a family called the church. I'm starting," this is Jesus speaking, "I'm going to start it, and it's my family, my genesis, my start for what I want to produce in the world." And I think Sue brought a word up here I just want to touch on in conclusion. Jesus said, "The gates of Hades will not prevail against it." What does that mean? Jesus said, "My church, I'm starting it. Hell will not defeat my church." Now, the video looked like a whole bunch of water and a little bitty tiny ship. And sometimes the church amongst the world looks like a really tiny ship amongst a lot of waves. But Jesus' opening salvo, his opening declaration, prophesying what the church is and is going to be. Powerful, effective, overcoming, able to navigate and not lose course, not lose the mission. And so part of what Sue said was cancer, diabetes, blood pressure, all the things, arthritis, I think, was one of the things she said. In fact, do you remember what your word was, Sue? Close enough you could come up and give it again. Good, sure, come on. I just want you to hear what she said earlier. And I would like to make it a point of emphasis, and you're not going to get it perfect. It's okay. You can come close. This is Sue, lovely Sue.
just going off the word yield and singing about the name of Jesus greater than any name, anything around in our lives. And his name has authority, and it's greater than diabetes, cancer, arthritis, eye diseases, brain diseases, you name it. But let's focus on his name and making his name great. Those things need to yield to him, and they will. And we don't have to wait. It can be now.
Amen and amen. So in reference to what the Lord always said, I have a question for us to consider this week. Do you have a really big devil, or do you have a really big Jesus? Who's big in my mind? Oh my gosh, and some of those ugly words were big words. Really big words, scary words. But in my mind, Holy Spirit ain't gonna lose. The gates of Hades will not prevail against the church. That's what Jesus said. The world will not beat my church. That's Jesus. And it comes down to, do I have a really big devil? Or do I have a really big God? And all those scary names will have to yield to the name of Jesus. I'm not talking about heaven, because yes, it's true there. It's also true here. And Jesus came and instituted the church to do what he did. So my question for us is, who in your mind is bigger, the devil or the Holy Spirit? Almighty God, left to continue and finish up what Jesus said, it's my church, and Satan won't beat it. Who am I going to believe? Can we stand up, please? Father, I thank you for sending your son. Jesus, thank you for coming. Thank you for laying down all beauty, all majesty, all everything that you had. Philippians 2, thank you for laying it down and humbling yourself to show us what love looks like, to show us what headship looks like. Thank you for instituting and starting the church. Corporate church is what I'm speaking about. Your instrument in earth to bring the kingdom of heaven now. Father, help us. Help us to do our little part. But I mentioned praying for two churches. This church has a call. This church has a plan that only we can accomplish. Just like Randy and I can only accomplish what the Kyles are called to do. We can't do what the Thomases are called to do. We can't do what the couples are called to do. We can't do it. But Father, you have a plan for the Dressman family. You have a plan for the Stern family. You have a plan for the May family. You have a plan for the Dickus family. You have a plan. And we have all of heaven backing our families and this family. So, Holy Spirit, we yield to you. Have your way. Adjust me. Change me. Help me. Help me be a better dad, a better husband, a better man, that I could step into who you say my birth certificate says I am. Help me, help us to find our place in the family. Help us to find our place. Whether I'm 52 and single, or 83 and my back hurts, or I'm 23 and I know everything, or I'm 71 and I'm stubborn and I know everything. Father, may humility and faith, health be earmarks from this family. We would love each other to our pain. Love each other to our pain. To look beyond my own needs and to reach into the needs in the community and into this family as well. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do to empower broken people, to bring unhealthy people to health, to teach me to forgive, Lord, when I've got every right to not forgive. And then I think of what I've been forgiven of by you. Help me, Jesus. Help me, help me, help me to love people beautifully, deeply, well, to become healthy myself so I can be a healthy component in a healthy family. Help me, Jesus. Now, you may be sitting here this morning and you just, wow, I need help. We have a prayer team here that would like to pray for you. It may be sickness. It may be a financial challenge. It may be a relational challenge. There's a prayer team who would like to pray with you. You're not on your own. You don't have to be on your own. We would like to stand with you. You may not know Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, I'd like you to come forward after the meeting and say, could you please tell me about this Jesus? I've been in church my whole life. I don't think I know him. We would like to pray with you and invite you into the family of God. You can do that this morning. Holy Spirit, thank you for this church. Thank you for these beautiful people. Help us to grow. Help us to change. Help us to evolve into who we really are. Lord, there'd be health in our homes. Health in this home. We bless and yield to what you're doing amongst us. And we say, thank you, Jesus, you haven't forgiven. Just forget us and moved on to other people. Lord, we may be peering through the door, but there's an invitation to come in and enjoy the family. Yes. We want to come in and enjoy the family and not just look from the outside in. Bless us, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Amen.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.